and Abednego. I want you to look at a man who thought he knew how to handle them. And the man that thought he knew something about persecution. He thought he'd burn them up, burn them down, and burn them away. The Bible says that he got the fire ready. They just weren't in a furnace. They were in a furnace full of fire. And the Bible teaches us that they stoked that fire some 7 times hotter than usual. Have you ever felt like one of the boys? Have you ever felt like the devil had thrown some lighter wood and some gas logs in on your fire? And the king said, boys, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a chance to change. I'm going to give you an opportunity to back up on your commitment. I'm going to give you a shot at staying. If not, we're going to cook you. Now, what's it going to be? And the Bible says in verse 17, if it be so. Oh, I like these boys already. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the fiery or burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. Then underscore the first 3 words in verse 18. But if not. Now I want to read this verse again and then read the first 3 words of 18. Look at what it says. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. Notice they're getting a little more bold. Once you start talking about what God can do, you'll have God doing it in a little while. Then he said, the Lord will deliver us out of thy hand, O King. And then 3 words he throws into the mix. But if not, but if not. Now, tonight I'm going to talk to you out of this portion of Scripture on a different subject from this context. You would think if somebody was going to preach on faith, they'd go over to the book of James. Or they'd go over to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Or you might think they'd go somewhere more intriguing and more contextual for faith. But friend, there's some faith in this verse. Now I'll pay y'all good to shout. I want my money's worth. There's some faith in this story. And I want to talk to you on this subject tonight of faith and its facets in the story. First of all, I want you to see in this story some kindergarten faith. Look with me, if you will, at verse 17. If it be so, our God. Now, I want you to notice that these 3 Hebrew children are saying they had a knowledge of God and that they knew that God was. They agreed that God existed. They agreed that God was present. They agreed that God was real. But they just said, our God. Now, somewhere in this congregation tonight, there's somebody, he's just an existing God. Look at these little old boys sitting over here called to preach. I like that. Amen. Somewhere in this congregation, there are some people who recognize his existence, and they recognize that he is a God that is. But that's about as far as it goes. today. I call that a faith where you get in and you get knowledge, or we could call it intellectual faith. Intellectual faith. One of the preachers of a bygone era said this about many people. He said that many people would miss heaven by the span of 18 inches. That's how far it is from your thinking to your living and believing. Intellectual faith. It is a kindergarten faith. Our God is. They knew that He was. They knew that He existed. I had a confrontation the other day with a public figure. He came in a particular place where I was speaking. And he made the statement that he was atheistic. He said, "I don't have any use for anything you said." He said, "But you believed it to the point you made me want to." I said that to say this. There are people that does not believe that He is a God that is. But tonight, out here in the waning darkness, out here under the tabernacle in the shavings, I'm glad tonight to make a bold announcement to you that He is a God that not only exists, but He's a God that's ever present. He's a God that's ever helpful. Hallelujah! 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 We look at creation and say, there is a God. We look at the bodies of people and we say, there has to be a creator. We'll walk out of here tonight and look up at the clouds rolled back. You'll see stars dotting the skies like sand in the seashore. And it'll be all because God opened His back door and just flung them out there. First of all, they said, "He is our God." Or, "He is a God that is. He is eternal. He is existing." And you may be here tonight and you'd say, "Well, I like the music and I like the atmosphere and I enjoy a religious experience and I like to get around Christians. I like clean Christian living." But I'll tell you right now, I hadn't got any room in my life for such fairy tale fantasies as to believe that some God done all of this. Have you not read Darwin? Have you not sought the fathers of the past? Have you not thought the intellectual minds know what they're talking about? Even Darwin said before he died, "I wish I had never crossed that bridge." And by the way, the public school is teaching the theory of evolution. You did not somehow evolve off of the bottom of the ocean in an amoeba. You did not evolve in salt water and somehow washed up on earth. And all of a sudden, you somehow wiggled out and wiggled up and wiggled on and stood up and lost your tail and started swinging off a bottom limb of a tree somewhere. But God, I want Him to hear this, but God, our Savior, our Master, our Lord, our songwriter, our Shepherd, our Chief Cornerstone, the subject of our Bible, our God, our Savior, He is now, and He's here. There are many of us. Many of us here. We say, just believing. Just believing. And get you a chair and sit down and hear a message. Go to the front and join up. Go ahead and get baptized and cause the preacher to shut up about it. And get in a religious institution and just believe. If that'll save you, the devil saves. If that'll save you, the devil say. Because the Bible says even the devils believe and shake. I promise you this. Satan knows dead well that God exists. When I first got saved, I hadn't been to church but four times, got saved on my fifth trip. I went four times to play softball because you had to go and get your name checked off before they'd let you on the diamond. They never asked me nothing about my soul. They didn't care nothing about my morality. They didn't care nothing. They just want to know, can you hit? Can you field the ball? Where do you play? We need your help. Little did they know I needed more help than they did. And I went to church on the third Sunday in 1968 in the month of September. I've told that a couple of times here. And I went into the house of God on my fifth trip. I didn't have any aspirations of this. Somebody had told me this, I'd have run hog wild home. Because I wouldn't have believed that the God of paradise and the God of glory could touch a nobody like me and let me meet somebody like you. But I'm glad he did. I'm glad he did. And God, through a series of events, I went home that morning. I mean, I got out of there fast. How many of you know what I'm talking? Some of you feeling that right now? I didn't mind all that piano playing and that singing, but I have a hard time with that believing thing. And there I was. In the house of God with a sweating, bellowing, preaching machine. Man, he ran back and didn't give a fat rip what nobody thought. He just opened his Bible and said, get your butt! He used that pulpit as a Gatling gun and blowed my brains out. I was smoking back then. I had to. Have you ever been in a tight place? To where you just fell out. And I forgot I don't be taking that picture doing that. And I forgot I left them in the car. Left them in the car. So I exited and I couldn't get one out, so I just lit several and started smoking them out in the pack. My wife came out, Diane came out. Why did you leave me? She was about 2.5 years pregnant. She didn't get baptized. She got bobbed. Boom. Took two of us to hold her under long enough for God to get on her. But we got her in. She said, why did you leave me? We got home and I was under conviction. But I didn't even have kindergarten faith. I believe in every one of us there's a measure of faith. I believe God puts within the human spirit the capability from birth to believe. that the more you live in satanic atmosphere and environment, the more you squelch it. Do you know that word? Squelch it. You quench that spirit. I didn't know anything about believing. And I went back that night under the simple conviction of the Holy Spirit. And God spoke to me, just like a meeting like this, inside a church building. He spoke to me and told me that the faith the size of a grain of mustard seed could get my name recorded somewhere it never been. That preacher stood up and said, "Come to Jesus, and He will save you." Man, I was sitting there saying, "God, what have I got to believe? What have I got to say? What have I got to pray?" I ain't never prayed nothing. I mean nothing. I just did not know what to do. And so I came to the front after the preacher and a series of events. He encouraged me. I knelt down and he prayed and taught me and helped me and shared me what I was to do. And that night, I entered into that kindergarten faith. All of a sudden, He's a God that is. A God that is. Now, let me ask you this. Tonight under this tabernacle, is He a God that is alive and exists to you? Give Him praise and glory if you're thankful for it. My mother may be here tonight. My daddy's in heaven. I can remember as a young boy, my brother and I, Mike, was in the choir tonight. I can remember us alternating weekends to date because my daddy had such a temper, he'd beat our mama about half to death. We'd have to be home. Or if he got drunk enough, he'd kill her. And we just knew he would. Got worse toward the end. I said tonight he's in heaven. He got saved and lived for 11 years on the cross side of life. But the 51 he spent on the carnal side and the satanic side of the cross was damaging. I remember praying. Anybody feel this? I can remember being balled up in the dark as 11 or 12 year old and pray and say, "God, if you'll just let them stop, I'll get out of this bed and do anything you want me to. If you just let them stop. If you'll stop my daddy's tantrum and stop my daddy's rage." And you wonder why I go to church and have a good time. You wonder why I act unbaptistic at times. You wonder why in the world is our preacher so erratic. It's simply because out of that dark night and out of that little balled up, tucked up position, the Lord Jesus found me at the age of 21 in a place where I needed to be saved. But that's the only time I ever felt faith. And it was a kindergarten faith. I believed God was. I believed that God existed. And I believed that somewhere out there was hope. And somewhere out there was help. But it was a kindergarten experience. It was a kindergarten faith. Notice, Brother Steve, I need you to help me. Get you a microphone and help me with the verses, if you will. Just get it and sit down over there, and you can read them for me in just a minute. Let me remind you of Hebrews 11:6. It says, "That which is not of faith is sin. It says this, they that come to Him, or they that believe on Him, must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Believing is a part of it. But your faith doesn't stop when you start believing. That is the kindergarten kind of faith that God wants to stir in you and move in you and strengthen you with and bless you. Now, you believe this evening. You're trusting. That word believe is a two-part word that means to live, be. Leap means in accordance with. If you believe this building was going to catch on fire and burn down on you, you would book out of here. And you'd go out on the outside and say, I believe it almost got me. But if you come in here and say, I believe this place is on fire. Anybody got a drink of water? And you just sit down and burn up. You're not living in accordance with what you say you believe. But believing just simply means to live in accordance with what you say you believe. He is a God of kindergarten faith. Number two, I want you to notice in this story. Look at verse number 17 in your Bible. It says this, our God is able to deliver us. Our God, there's faith, God is. Then he says, he steps it up a notch. He says this, able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Here is elementary school faith. We're moving up from kindergarten faith, a God that is, to elementary school faith, to a God that can. He's able. The first thing you do is you climb into kindergarten and you believe Him. But it don't stop there unless you're stymied in your growth. Some of us are still in kindergarten. You believe He is, but you hadn't done nothing about who He is and what He can do. Our God is, say it with me, able, say it with me, able, say it with me, able to do something. He's able to deliver you. I like that. I appreciate that. He's a God that can. He's a God that is able. He is a God that is capable. Now, I got a Bible. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can even ask or think. That's not a kindergarten faith. When you start putting your faith into a God that can, and He does. Am I right about it? I think tonight every one of us need to hear this. There's a kindergarten faith, and then there is an elementary school faith. Jude 24, now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling. I like what it says. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. When you go from kindergarten, you go to elementary school. And you find out that God is not just existing, but God is experiential. He'll start doing things for you. When I first got saved, I didn't have a whole lot of sense and a whole lot less commitment. I didn't know nothing. I got a Bible and I called it the Book of Palms. I did. I thought surely that Hezekiah, they said Hezekiah wrote a book, and I thought it was in there. The Book of Job. I had no spiritual sense. One night, I went to church, and these people was rejoicing. Wasn't but a couple of them, but they was happy. It was a church not far from here, and they wasn't all excited about Jesus, but there's two or three of them in there who had found a friend. And I asked an old boy, there's a guy over there who grunted. His name was Horace Green. He would grunt. When the preacher said something, he'd like, he'd grunt. I asked an old boy that was sitting next to me that I'd teamed up with, I said, what's he doing? He said, he's happy. I said, happy? It sounds like he got some dreaded disease. He said, no, he's happy. He said, when you get happy, you make them noises. He said, now, I ain't never got happy enough to make them, but he has. And this old boy was preaching. Old Mike Curry was preaching one night on the Ethiopian eunuch, and Diane was sitting next to me on the pew, and he was preaching, and I just sitting there, I mean, had my eyes locked on him and my mind tuned in, and I was focused and listening to what he said. And he said, what doth hinder me to be baptized? He said, how can I know except some man tell me? I want to know who Jesus is. All of a sudden, I saw myself in a desert. I saw myself being told one more time how that Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God. And all of a sudden, I mean, I was just locked in on what he was saying. And before I knew it, I jumped up and said, My wife snatched me back down. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. She looked at me like, wait till we get home. And when I done that, it scared the preacher. Because now he had two pigs in the same pen grunt. He finally taught us how to say amen. I was glad because I was getting a sore throat worse. And I had a problem. Didn't know how to rejoice. I didn't feel the joy they was feeling. And I didn't want to just do it. I said, I need some help with this, God. One night I went out on the back porch and sit down. And I said, Lord Jesus, you know I want to worship like them folks do. You know I want to feel it, Lord. God, I wasn't 2 weeks old in God. I said, I'm struggling with knowing that my faith's real. I said, would you just send an angel? I prayed this or I'm not sitting here. I said, would you send an angel down through them pine trees? And let that angel just communicate with me a minute and tell me my faith is pleasing to you. If you will, I believe I could, if I saw an angel, I think I could go back to church and rejoice. And I sat there fully expecting Gabriel's first cousin or somebody close to him to come, and nobody showed up. Nobody showed up. I had kindergarten faith. I knew God was. I wouldn't have been talking to the sky if I didn't believe there's somebody in it. So God saw my kindergarten faith. He said, I think I'll take him up a grade or two. He didn't send no angel. I sat out there and I said, did you hear me? Are you out of angels? Are they all on vacation? Help! My neighbors all stopped coming to my house. Can you imagine why? Folks started thinking I needed somebody from Gracewood to attend to me. And I sat up and I said, just let one flap down here. I remember telling him, I won't tell nobody. You know that's a lie. I'm telling you that nobody came. You know I'd have told you if they had a. Nobody came. I had 5 books in my house, an Unger's Bible Dictionary. I had a Thompson Chain Reference Bible. I had a couple of Bible commentaries. And a little old book by Watchman Nee, Sit, Walk, and Stand. That's all I had. I had been reading in the book of Romans, and I had went to sleep the night before, halfway through chapter 1. I'll never forget this. I got up off of the step and thought, well, I guess he just didn't want to do it for me. But I still knew he was. I went back in the house and got my Bible, turned it to Romans chapter 1. And verse 17 says, the just shall live by faith. All of a sudden, something said, you don't need no angel. He done left you a letter. You got something better than an angel. You got a word from God. And it was like that verse of Scripture jumped out and hopped on my bald head. I mean, just sat right on top of my existence. And I'm glad that God stepped me up to elementary faith. Not only a God that is, but a God that can. Give Him praise and glory. If you believe He can, He's able. He's able. But it doesn't stop there. There's kindergarten faith. There's elementary school faith. Then there's high school faith. He said, our God. God that is. Will, what does he say? Deliver us from the fire furnace. There's a God that can. He said, and he shall deliver us out of thine hand, O King. There's a God that will. Not is, not can, but will. I saw that the day and like to have done a double back flip. I hadn't have been so fat I'd have run. They said, we know he can, and they spoke something that was not as if it was. Romans 4:17. They said, we know our God is. We know our God can. And guess what? We know our God will. He will deliver us. That's high school faith. What grade are you in? Some of us believe in God. We got a religion equal to the devil. If that's all the religion you got, Satan got as much as you got. Some of us are church members, and we just believe God is, and it shows when the tithe is counted. We just believe God is, and it shows when prayer meeting night comes. We believe God is, and it shows when prayer time personally comes. Because people that just believe God is don't do too much about it. But then he'll step you up to elementary school faith, and he'll teach you he's a God that can. I'm done. He's a God that can. Now, the way you know that he can is because you've seen him do it for other people. The way that you know he will is you've seen him do it for you. Can I get a witness? I know that a church could be built because I went to Jack Hiles' place and saw somebody do it. Then I came home and found a God that said, I'll use you. Not only can I there, I will here. We got us some high school faith. When you come from God is to God can to God will, you have went from kindergarten to high school. I've got some people in here who you folks that are visiting, some of the finest Christians God ever saved. They are responsible for this meeting being paid for. They're responsible for this meeting being prayed for. They are responsible for this meeting in its existence, giving God all the glory, just giving man credit where credit's due. I got to stop and say, it's a wonderful thing to pastor people who believe God is, who believe God can, and who know God will. I'm glad out in Port Orchard, Washington, there's a Bible Baptist church that believes God believes that God will. I'm glad over yonder in Rock Hill, South Carolina tonight, there's a place called Trinity Baptist Church that just cleared them off a spot in an automobile shop, in an automobile parts house. They tore the counters down. They tore all the things off the floor. They busted the sheetrock walls down, started setting up pews, put in a PA, and said, let me tell you about a God who is, a God who can, and a God who will. Somebody praise him. How fresh is your experience tonight in faith? That's what God asked me today. How fresh is your experience today in faith? There's a God, I'm done. There's a God that is. There's a God that can. There's a God that will. And then it's got a big point to it. Then he said this, but if not. That's graduate faith. Yeah, that's graduate school faith. That's faith that says, I love him, I don't care. I'll trust him no matter what. I'm sick, but I'm happy. I'm down right now, but it's okay. He's still God. I'm broke, but I'll make it all right. I believe, but if not, I'm hanging on. But if not, I'm praying. But if not, I'm trusting. But if not, I'm shouting. But if not, I'm glorifying. But if not, I know that it can. But if not. It doesn't hinge on who God is or that hinges on you trusting Him no matter what. Steve and Carol came here childless. They arrived at my house one weekday afternoon, and Steve had everything he owned in a cattle trailer. Never will forget it. He had a 100-foot extension cord. He said, "Can I plug my freezer up in your house?" Well, I didn't know he wanted to plug it up for 2 months. I'd have bought him some more meat. He said, "By the way, we ain't got nowhere to cook that sausage. And after we eat it, we ain't got nowhere to lay down. Y'all got another room? Angela's here tonight. She'll tell you." They ended up in her room and in the other room and all of, and we just commenced together. I can remember. I can remember those days well. Of hearing Carol sobbing in the altar and hearing Steve praying for her. He never was as motherly in this experience as she was, naturally. But I can remember him praying, "Whatever you got to do, help Carol come to terms with it. I'll be all right, whatever you do." And for 10 years, she begged, she pleaded, she came and asked Diane and I, "Is it faithless? Do I just not believe? Is it that God can't be trusted out of my heart? Is He seeing some flaw? Do I need to fix something?" It was 10 years, I'll never forget it. It was on a night service when I heard, now she's not charismatic. Not close. But one night, she was over yonder folded up like a cheap accordion. And I heard her holler, "It's all right if you don't. It's all right if you don't. I want one, but if not, I need one, God. But if not," I can still hear her, "It's all right. It's okay. Do what you please." She's a high school graduate who's moving into graduate school. I want one. Don't get me wrong, I want one. But if not, when she got into graduate school, she was pregnant in 2 months. There's some girls here in this auditorium tonight who have asked me to pray for them. And they've come to Diane and I, they've come to church members and said, "I can't have children. Would you pray I could?" That's not going to do it. I'll pray for you. I'll be glad to. I'm your preacher. Sure I will. And I'll believe God with you. And we both can believe Him until our belief is absolutely perfect. And it won't happen. It's when you say, "You mean more to me than a child." That's what they were saying. But he's going to take us out. We're going to move on. You're going to have to turn us loose. You ain't going to be able to hold us. You think you got the combination, but you don't. You cannot hold us past God's divine plan for us. Hey, hey, but if not, that's indescribable faith. That's faith that gives up on the product and falls in love with the person. I sure am glad nobody came to preach tonight. Stand up with me. Preacher? Preacher, I've got God is faith. Truth is, you can go to hell with God is faith. Stay with me. Service will be over in just a minute. I promise you can go to hell with God is faith. Tonight in hell, there are inhabitants thereof that believed in God before they ever hit the fire. You say, I have a hard time with that. Well, it's the truth. Because you don't go to heaven just with intellectual assent and knowledge of God. You go to heaven because you put your trust and your faith in who He is and what He done through Christ for you. Preacher, all I've got is God is faith. Would you pray for me? Come on. Come on. I'm in kindergarten. Just play easy, Steve. Easy, easy. Put it on easy. I want the Lord tonight to elevate me at least a notch. What grade you in? Aren't you glad as you walk along with God, you don't only believe that He is, but you start believing, number two, that He can. I believe God can save my daddy. I believe God can save my mama. I have a mother and a daddy that'll be in heaven one of these days. Daddy's there now. Mama will go. And it's because a bunch of us believed God that they wouldn't go to hell. I mean, we started talking to them like they was already saved. We started praising God for two people that was lost as if they were already in. One day God just said, we might as well save them. They are acting like they are. And Lord help us, we can't let them just go around thinking that and not do it. So He saved them. And on my daddy's deathbed, he hugged my neck, looked into my eyes. I never seen him again after that. I had to preach. Right after that, 20 minutes, he was in heaven. He said, thank you for telling me what it took to get me out of this hospital into the presence of God. I have the privilege.